Well, the All-Share Index ended up 0.21% at 57,713 points. The local currency is trading around 14.14 against the US dollar, 15.85 against the euro, and 17.69 against the British pound. Just to give us an update on what's been happening on the markets, I'm joined in studio by Makwe Masilela. He's from Makwe Fund Managers. Welcome, sir.
Thank you.
Good stuff. So Friday saw the June non-farm payroll data come out with the numbers exceeding market expectations. So what does this do to market expectations around an interest rate cut, which most people believed would happen at the US Fed? And what's been the market's reaction?
You know, remember, so far our markets have been going up on those expectations that the U.S. Federal Reserve will cut interest rates, and also the European Central Bank, the outgoing president, made it clear that they are happy to stimulate the economy and cut interest rates if need be. And then with the Christine Lafargue, Lagarde appointed or nominated, you know, to take over, people think that she will continue to be a fan of low interest rates. So that has been driving the markets. And we've seen this story before. Mm. This is what happened 2007, 2008. So now when you get good numbers, because remember the U.S. Federal Chair said it will continue to act appropriately. And to us, that means it will continue to be economic data dependent. So now if you see the economy improving, then it started, you know, dampening our expectations that the guy might not be that aggressive. Mm. But, you know, he might still cut come the 30th, 31st of July. But I think that's what happened. The good numbers. So, and it's not just going to be non-farm payrolls. It's just that we're looking at that, because that's the matter of all reports, because you need an economy to create jobs. But that's what it did, that to us, all the expectations that we've been having, chances are it might not be as aggressive as we thought. Mm. And we know equity markets, they tend to flourish when you get a low economic or low interest rates environment, because it becomes cheaper for companies to borrow money, households as well. So I think that's what happened. Mm. And hence the markets are kind of muted. So the U.S. managed to respond to that on Friday. So our markets and the European markets and Asian markets only got a chance to respond today.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so they're a bit muted because of the uncertainty.
Exactly, because right. That's thinking, the expectation is that the guy might not be that aggressive, yeah. But they still expect them to decrease interest rates. Mm.
Very quickly on that Christine Lagarde nomination for ECB, nomination, does that mean that it's a fait accompli? I mean, is she going to get the job?
Yeah, they nominate you, then the European Union Council, they just have to confirm the whole thing. So, and as we know, I mean, she's been around. She was once the finance minister of France. So I think she's a private candidate.
Right. Okay, cool. So Morgan Stanley has come out to say that it's shifting its exposure to global equities to underweight. What's informed their decision? I mean, that my understanding of underweight means is that they're going to expose themselves less to equities, global sure. equities. What's informed their decision, and would you agree with their position? And if that's the case, where should investors be placing their funds in the meantime?
I think they've just been irrational, because they're saying, listen, we expect that it will be easy when it comes to monetary policy, not just from the US, but major central banks. But unfortunately, that won't be sufficient to be able to counteract a weak economic growth, and which makes sense, because at the end of the day, companies make money if the economy is growing, because it boils down to earnings. Hence, they reduce their exposure. But at the same time, they increase their exposure when it comes to emerging market sovereign credit and also to the safe haven Japanese bonds. Mm. So I think at the end of the day, when things like that, people will run to safe havens. And maybe that also explains why, after we've seen the dollar falling over 1% on Friday, it was so resilient and easy for it to go back to 1.4, even though now we can see just underneath that, meaning safe haven continues, you know, to be the theme. And the 6 francs as well, they continue to be safe havens.
Mm. And what about gold? It's also considered to be a safe haven. Has it benefited?
So far, and remember, it also benefits from the geopolitical tension. We heard what Iran said, that they will increase, you know, their nuclear enrichment. And Donald Trump said, uranium enrichment. Donald said, we must be careful. So that geopolitical tension continues to be there.
Mm, very worrying indeed. Over the weekend, Turkey's president sacked the central bank governor. That's a big deal. What impact did this have on Turkish capital assets? You know, below their stocks and their bonds and the lira currency. And because whenever anything happens to Turkey, it tends to filter down to other emerging markets. Did we see this translate into emerging market currencies?
Not yet, because you see what happened to the rand. It managed to strengthen, you know, even though we've seen the dollar has been strong, and the dollar has been strong at the back that interest rates won't be that aggressive. But yes, with Turkey, we saw the lira going down at some point, more than 2%, all the assets. And it's a question of people are worried that, listen, you fired the guy because the guy didn't want to adhere to a demand to reduce interest rates. And it talks about the independence of the central bank. And that's what we've been talking about back home here, that come with whatever mandate, the most important thing, that whatever mandate you decide on, the central bank must pursue that mandate independently. So it's a question of independence.
So that remains a real threat then, because presumably the person who's going to take over, who I understand is the guy who got kicked out, is his deputy. The guy who's going to take over may be more pliable.
Definitely. And I think the guy was briefed, and the president is sure that, okay, I'm removing you, putting this other one. You will at least listen to me compared to the other guy. And hence, it compromises the independence of the central bank. And that's a very crucial point. It's not only about Turkey, but everyone else, including us back home here. Independence of the central bank is very important.
Mm. Retrenchments have become the order of the day in South Africa, but a company getting rid of 18,000 jobs is not a joke. Deutsche Bank coming out over the weekend announcing that they're going to be getting rid of 18,000 jobs globally. Mm-hmm. It's also getting rid of its equities trading business. I mean, you would have thought that would be a key element in its business model, and some of its fixed income operations. What does this tell us? Is it symptomatic of something that's happening in the broader banking sector in Europe?
Yes, it is happening in Europe, and even other banks were feeling that, you know. Equities are no longer making money they were used to do. I mean, just check what happened. Maybe look at the JSE results. You know, their trading volumes, they went down by almost 40%. Mm. So people are no longer as active as they used to. So it's not only in Europe, but even back home here, if you check what happened to the JSE results. But yes, it's kind of concerning, and this is the bank which is the largest, or call it the flagship, you know, when it comes to Germany. And remember, they tried to merge with the second biggest one, Commerzbank, but unfortunately around end of April those talks collapsed. But it confirms that things are not easy going out there. It's not just about the economy, but the companies themselves, they just have to downsize, unfortunately. But let's qualify that 18,000 is up until 2022.
Okay, so it's over a staggered period. But then you say, you know, that the equities markets haven't been doing so well. But isn't that just a season? Aren't we always advised that if you're investing in equities, it should be for the long haul?
True that, but now you ask yourself, what is the long haul? Things have not been doing okay. And I think it's a question of how the governments have been intervening. I mean, we got to a point that we intervene in such a way that it only boosts the equities or the JSE or the investors, but the main street doesn't get to reap the benefits. It's so embarrassing that we are where we were in 2007. We had the financial crisis, governments, whatever, intervened. But what happened to the economies of the world?
Yeah.
They're still not growing. And people realize that, gee, we were not even supposed to be increasing those interest rates. Here we are, we think the US, or we expect the US to start decreasing interest rates. So it tells you that the way they intervene, you know, it was not right, or it didn't benefit quality the main street. And I think policy intervention should benefit that, because remember, the stock exchange should be a reflection of what is happening to the main economy. But this time around, it's the other way.
Hasn't been happening. And then Aspen, I see on Friday that they lost a lot of value. I mean, they sold their infant milk formula recently, and that was well received by the market. But then that stock felt some pressure on Friday. What's happening?
Yeah, even though they managed to bounce back a little bit today, at some point more than 1%, in my opinion is that, you know, as long as a company you continue to have huge debt, the markets will continue to punish you. And I think it's a question of that.
I understand that their infant milk formula, they were able to sell that for like 750 million euros. What is that in rand? I mean, that must be quite a lot. And they're sitting on a debt of about 53 billion rand.
Exactly. I mean, so that money will help to reduce, and I think we need to emphasize, not to wipe away the debt, but to reduce the debt, but the debt will continue to be huge.
And Impala Platinum in the mining sector, they reported a return to profitability for the year ended June, and that's after suffering a headline loss the year before. That's pretty good. I think the PGMs have had a good time.
Yeah, but I think they're reporting the time in the office not good. These guys are going into wage negotiations, you know, very soon. So what are you going to say, you know, to AMCU, you know, when they won 17,000, because, and it's not only them, everyone we know who's been involved in the PGM, they've been making money out of that, and mainly because of the palladium and rhodium prices, which have been shooting up. But yes, we are happy to see that the guys at last are starting to make money, and especially when you look at their Rustenburg mines.
Makwe Masilela, thank you very much for joining us. He's from Makwe Fund Managers.